The Wizard of Oz is still one of the great film stories of all time. Now, I would have thought that everyone on the planet would have seen The Wizard of Oz, but it's not so. I met someone not long ago who had not seen The Wizard of Oz, but had seen Wicked. I'm not sure that works, but anyway, I want to take a moment just to review the story for those of you who haven't seen it. It's the magical tale, of course, of Dorothy, the young girl, who is swept by a tornado over the rainbow from Kansas to this strange and wonderful land. Though the land is beautiful and the creatures she meets there are quite remarkable, Dorothy just wants to go home. And she's advised to follow that yellow brick road to the Emerald City, where perhaps the great and powerful Wizard of Oz will grant her request. And Dorothy is joined on her journey by those wonderfully familiar characters, the Scarecrow, who is in search of a brain, and the Tin Man, who longs for a heart, and the Cowardly Lion, who seeks courage. Now, each of these characters is on a quest. They're on some kind of a journey, some kind of a pilgrimage, in search of something they need. Something they need in order to become whole. A whole person. A whole scarecrow. A whole lion, for that matter. Now, today's scripture talks about another quest. A quest undertaken by wise men, magi, astrologers, searchers of the stars, who had sensed through their studies that something new had happened. A king had been born, but not just any king. This was a king that they were willing to risk their lives on a long and dangerous journey in order to see. And so they set out on that journey. Three of them, we usually think, because there were three gifts, but we really have no idea how many there were. And they followed the star. They follow the star in search of a child who would be a king. They are on a quest. Now, in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her three unlikely friends do, in fact, meet the wizard in the Emerald City, but the wizard doesn't help them. Instead, he sets them on sort of another quest, a small task, he says. Bring me the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West, whose green face can still inspire nightmares in the young. Through a series of events requiring them to use all of their abilities, they liquidate the Wicked Witch, return to the Emerald City with their broomstick in anticipation of gaining a brain, a heart, courage, and a trip home. And what do they discover? The wizard is not a wizard after all. Those of you that haven't seen it, I guess I'm ruining the whole story right here. The wizard is just a carnival guy from Omaha. He has no magical powers to give them what they long for. But as he said, I'm not a good wizard, but I am a good man. And he is a good enough man to show them that the things they've been seeking for are things they have actually acquired along their journey. It's certainly in the movie, but it's even more clear in the book that whenever these four friends face a challenge that requires them to devise a new plan, a clever way to get through it, it's the Scarecrow who thinks of it. And whenever they're in a situation that requires bravery, it's the Cowardly Lion who acts, even though he's afraid, he acts to help them get through it. And the Tin Man usually isn't much help at all, because the Tin Man is so upset about someone's predicament or situation that he's just crying and rusting away anyway. Each of them have within them what they've been seeking. Each of them only had to go on this quest, this journey, to find what they sought from within themselves. And even Dorothy, we discover, had the power to return home all along because she was wearing the silver shoes, which in the movie are the ruby slippers. Each one of them had what they wanted within their own power from the very beginning. And so, Frederick Buechner writes, "The Wizard of Oz is the fairy tale dehumbugged. The good news that it bears is the good news that hard and conscientious effort and a little help from our friends will pay off in the end, and that faith is its own reward, and that the most important thing to have faith in is ourselves." And insofar as they receive their heart's desire, Dorothy and her friends, it's essentially a do-it-yourself operation. Sort of the end of the fairy tale, he calls it. Now, the title of this sermon is The Two Quests. And The Wizard of Oz describes one of these quests. It's interesting, isn't it, that the word question has as its root quest. When we ask a question, we are in search of something new. And so the quest that The Wizard of Oz describes is the journey of self-discovery. Who am I? What gifts, what abilities do I possess? What strengths, what limits are mine? It's a quest to become a whole person by looking within. By looking within yourself to find who it is that you really are. Well, I do not in any way want to minimize the importance of that quest. The quest to look within ourselves is a vital one. Know thyself, Socrates and all the Greek sages said. Shakespeare, to thine own self be true. Looking within your own soul to discover who you are is an essential part of becoming fully human. But let me suggest that the wise men are on a second, different quest. They are, by definition, wise, but they have decided that there's something worth knowing that they will not discover by looking within themselves. They're looking beyond themselves for truth. They've set out on a physical journey across desert sands, but they're in search of a truth they cannot conjure up themselves, a truth they cannot discover within, a truth they cannot create from the raw materials of their own life. Instead, they are looking for something beyond their own experience. They're in search of a truth that's beyond even the stars that they've studied all their lives. And they will get there. They will pay any cost of their journey to get there. And when they do, they will give their best to the one they seek. They're deciding what star is it will be the one they chart their course by. And they've picked this star that leads them to Bethlehem. And that quest, too, is part of becoming a whole person. It seems to me that our culture today has affirmed the value of the first quest. We affirm the importance of self-discovery, of answering the question, who am I? But we often stop there. We believe that the whole story, the full truth, can be found within our own stories, within our own lives. And so we talk about self-actualization and self-fulfillment. Good things, but that lead us to think that the key to our lives is to be found in ourselves. But what if that's wrong? What if that's wrong? Or what if it's a half-truth? What if, just as important as it is to look within ourselves, it's also important to take that second quest, to determine what is it beyond ourselves that's worth seeking? What cause, what commitment will summon forth the best of what we have to offer? What is there out there that's worth spending our energy and our time and our resources to find? The truth that opens our eyes to something that's worth giving our all for. What if that second quest is just as important as the first? And the journey of the wise men would lead us to believe that it is. I mean, at the very least, this much is clear. You're not the cause of your own life. You are not the reason that you are here. Your life is a gift to you. Who gave it to you? Who gave it to you? And for what purpose? If you're not at least asking the question, then you're missing something very important. And they give rise to a different kind of a quest. Centuries ago, wise men set out on a journey across the sands of the desert, and they believed they had a clue to a truth that was beyond themselves, a truth that would give purpose to their lives, a truth that would tell them who they really were, and a truth that was worth taking all kinds of risks to discover. And their journey led them to a child. Could it be that the truth that would give meaning to their lives, that would energize their lives, was found wrapped in swaddling cloths? If you're going to pick a star to chart your life by, to choose a course by, what better star could you choose than the one that leads you to that child? That leads you to the one who lifted up those who were lonely and lowly, who offered words of forgiveness to those who had messed up their lives beyond all recognition. The one who spoke words of hope to the despairing and the depressed. The one who offered bread to the hungry and dared to speak up for justice for those who had the least, for those who had no power. What better star to set your course by than the star that leads to the one who gave his life in love for others? What better way to spend your life than on a quest following that star? You know, the novelist Walker Percy wrote that the most important distinction between people were those who saw their lives as a quest and those who did not. You and I are invited to make a journey across the sands of time, to go on our own quest for the truth that will make us whole. And I'm perfectly willing to concede that often, maybe even most of the time, those two quests, the one within and the one beyond, are the same journey. But with Walker Percy, I would want to ask, do you see your life as a quest? Do you see yourself as on a journey within, surely, I hope so, but also a journey beyond? A journey that leads you to the child of Bethlehem, the child who is no longer a child, but who is the light of the world. For the truth that summons you on that kind of a quest summons you to a way of life, a way of living, a way of loving that can truly make you whole. Pray with me. Gracious God, we are on a journey, whether we know it or not. Help us to see our lives for the quest that they are. And help us to see truly and fully what star it is that we chart our course by. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and our own sakes, we pray. Amen.